Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Lisa Frischa, president and founder of Franca Consulting. Welcome to Amplifying Leadership.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, I'm excited to talk about our topic, but before we get started, I always let our audience know a little bit more about you. So tell us more about you and your leadership journey.
Yeah, so and we were just joking about it before we went live, but so right now I'm a fractional chief people officer and strategic advisor and executive coach, but I actually started my career as a middle school teacher. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I had sort of had a crisis in values in college and, you know, ended up teaching and falling in love with it and loved schools and the community. And so after teaching for 5 years in a traditional public school and then 2 in a growing charter, I started a high school as a principal. And I was 29. I joke I threw myself in the deep end. We were a growing network without a lot of structures and support, and we were scaling. And so after growing the first high school and helping to launch the second, we were scaling as an organization, but no one was really taking care of our leaders. Mm-hmm. And really helping them to think through not just individual coaching, but how do you form, you know, how do you create an organization and semi-autonomous teams and one culture? And so I started our internal leadership program as a means of scaling the organization.
Excellent.
And that work just evolved over time. If you've ever been in startup, you just keep taking on projects. Yeah. And so leadership development became talent development for the entire organization as a vehicle of growth. Then recruitment, then HR had come under me. And so after 14 years with the same organization, and after a lot of transitions, I went out on my own. And so I do what I did before, just with other organizations, whether they are small organizations trying to stay both sustainable and inclusive, whether it's growing organizations that are trying to keep their values but navigate scale, and anything in between. And mm-hmm. So, yeah, I love doing that work.
And I love that you recognized you needed something in your own high school that would help develop those leaders, because a lot of businesses and business owners, when they start out, they don't necessarily have any of these skills, right? And so understanding that that needs to happen mm-hmm. and then developing something is really, really important for businesses that are scaling, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because as a leader, right, your job is to keep looking, you know, you're reading the tea leaves. You're supposed to be like on the, you know, I'm going to screw up the analogy, but like you're yeah. supposed to be on the mast of the ship, right? Looking ahead mm-hmm. to see what's coming. And you just can't do that if you're being dragged into the weeds. And you can only do that when you have really strong people. But balancing, mm-hmm. strengthening your leadership while also giving them a clear direction direction without directives is really tricky. And, you know, if you're an organization that also is trying to scale, I think that it's really hard to figure that out and do the work of scaling. Mm-hmm. And so I love partnering with organizations to help them think about succession planning and leading with clarity in a sustainable way, because I've sat in that seat and I know how busy and hard it
yes.
can be.
It can be rough, right? I've been there too.
Totally.
Yeah. I want to ask you something, because you had mentioned in previous conversations that you and I were having that you have something called the leadership bench. And I would love for you to explain the leadership bench for our audience and also why it matters to build one.
Yeah. So, I mean, this also started when I was a leader, and our founder, for, you know, all their potential, you know, faults, really infused in us this ability, this belief of, you know, you leave things cleaner than you found it. I was a Girl Scout, so I already knew
yeah,
that added.
Yeah.
And so I knew I wasn't going to be the principal forever. And so, you know, the goal is to create an organization that if you step away, can exist without you, right? I think that's okay. The sign of, Jim Collins says, like, that's the sign of level 5 leadership. And I took that very mm-hmm. seriously. And to do that, you have to have a bench of folks. And that can like look in different ways, right? It can look like as you're growing, who's taking on some of the more tactical work, or even some of, at some point, some of the more strategic work, so that you can be leading at the level and the elevation that you need to be as an owner or a founder or CEO. It also means staying ready for succession planning. You know, it would be lovely if people wanted to stay with us forever, on some level, but that's not how things work. And so, you know, and if you hire great people, like inevitably, like they might have opportunities. Like that's the other side of hiring great people. And so, you know, part of, you know, you talk about business contingency plans in terms of like, well, what happens if a cybersecurity attack or these, you know, these other risks, you have to think about it in terms of your leadership as well. With schools specifically, as a chief people officer, you know, we saw some level of transience, you know, people move, people go to grad school, people say, okay, I've led a school for a while, I need a break. And so you need to stay ready. For nonprofits and schools, I think there's really a moral imperative because you never want that transition to impact kids or the people in the
Yeah, of
community you're
course.
serving. But I think it's true for any organization. So the idea is like, who else is on the bench? Who else are you growing? You know, sports teams get it. They have farm teams that they have to develop. And I think organizations would be benefited by thinking in the same way.
I have to say, I love succession planning, and I have to also, I want to comment on the big mistake that early on my organization did, which was they had us create succession plans, but not actually ask the people if they even wanted that, which is a huge mistake. I mean, it's great to say that Lisa would be the perfect ideal person, but what if Lisa's dream is not to move from where she is or go in a totally different direction, right?
No, totally. Like I think since then she's been promoted and has shifted, but I had an amazing manager who I promoted to senior manager. And while she was working with me, I kept saying, you know, do you want to do anything else? She's like, nope, I'm happy. You know, she had a rough role before she came on my team. And so that wasn't where she wanted to be. And my job was to keep her in the organization as long as possible rather than promoting her. I think it's important for a few reasons. One is, I think we're increasingly seeing the research is showing that Gen Z is really apprehensive of becoming managers. I think that's a systemic issue that can be addressed. Some of us did not necessarily model sustainable leadership. I know I didn't when I was a principal. Right. And so they're like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. So there's some of that, but also I think your folks who are, there are some folks who, you know, recognize that people management is really challenging and is not for them. On the flip side, you have people who don't really think about the difference between people management and individual contributors, and want to be promoted, but don't actually fully know what that means. And so I think having stay conversations, whether that's during the annual review or just quarterly, just asking folks, like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And sometimes that's not a specific role. It might mean, like, here's the type of work I'd want to be doing. Here's the type of decision I'd be making. But having those conversations with people is really important. Otherwise, you'll lose people by promoting them.
And I think too, sometimes you can be surprised by the answer you hear, and that's okay too. You might hear that someone says, "Well, I hope to be retired," and they're 50 or 40, whatever, right? And you might be surprised by that too. So it really is an interesting question to ask. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Because you know what? It honestly may not be with your organization. And we as leaders have to say, okay, great. How can I help you with moving forward today in what we're doing?
Absolutely.
It
Definitely.
happens. It happens.
Yeah, and I think it's also true with I find with smaller organizations that don't have plans to really grow, they're nervous about having this conversation because they don't want to lose people. But they're also not turning over leaders to such a degree that they can offer. And what they miss is an opportunity to say, to first know that that's what you want and say, great, my job is to make sure that you are ready for that. So let's talk about opportunities you have here use this as your training ground.
Mm-hmm.
I benefit because you get to work with me.
Yeah.
And you get to benefit because you're getting opportunities and training on the job that will position you to be able to do that. And I think it's a missed opportunity when we don't have those conversations with our people.
I agree. And I think that that's really important one, and to accept the answer, but build upon it. They're still there. Don't ignore them. They're still there. Ask them how that you can help them with, like you just said, well, how can we help you get towards your goals? Right. And let's build those people to be the strong people. So when they do leave, because they want to go somewhere else, they're saying, Tara's company ABC was the absolute best company. That's the kind of PR, public relations, we want people to see on those Glassdoor and Indeed sites or whatever other sites where employees put all their grief or judge you. You want it to be positive, good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I do want to come back to something that you said earlier, and that is that if a leader goes away or whatever, that you can be confident in doing that, even if you leave the business altogether or if you go on vacation. And I have to say, I love that you brought that up because I hear, as obviously leadership coach and consultant, all the time that they're like, well, I was on vacation, but I had to do A, B, C, D, E. And I'm like, but why are you doing that work? What advice would you have? Because I know what I would do, but and what I did do, but what advice would you have for those leaders who are like, well, I took vacation, but I worked, 40 hours a week on my vacation?
So I think that there's a few things. I actually wrote some stuff on in my newsletter about this,
Oh,
but
did you? Perfect.
yeah. So I mean, I think with succession planning, vacation, what have you, part of the answer is staying ready. If you're regularly not just meeting with people, but also norming on decision making, norming on why the decisions are happening the way that they are, not because it necessarily is always a conversation, but it's an explanation. People start knowing how to think like you and act like, okay, Tara's out, but I know what she would prioritize. So that's part of the answer. But I think the other piece is, and I didn't realize this until I took over my last team, but what it means to put an out of office together.
Big,
And I
big, big one.
always, yeah, and I always framed it to folks like in terms of taking vacation out of office is when you're on vacation, I want you to be off. So if you don't think
Bingo.
that you can be fully off, then this might not be the time. Like to be like, I'll be with you. We worked in schools. There were times that for some teams are better than others. But then other is to say, well, what are the, everyday work that will need to continue? Who is going to take it on? At what level? What do they need to know? And then what are, maybe there's like a big project, a strategic plan, something along those lines that, maybe not all of the levels can happen without you, but usually like there are some things that can happen without you. And I think really thinking about what are those levels so that you can task people out. And then you got to tell people about it. So it should be in your out of office email. Those folks should have, whether it's a spreadsheet, a Google sheet, I always liked Google Sheets, to talk about here's the workflow, here's your point of contact. That point of contact knows these are the things that they can just run with, and these are the things that they are going to have to ping me. And so, again, I worked in schools. I worked during COVID. I built a high school. Like, I'm not going to say I never checked my email on vacation, except when I was climbing Kilimanjaro. Then, like, I physically could not. But other than that, but then you only have three people pinging you occasionally with a, hey, I just need you to like check my gut, or this decision needs to get made. What do you think? So I think it's really about getting your deputies and training your deputies and equipping your deputies as well.
I love that. I used to call it the 911 emergency. You call me if someone's hurt themselves, someone's quit, or the parent office needs some major decision made. That's it. That's what I'm there for. Everybody else knows what they need to do.
Well, and the other benefit too is that sometimes, this can be, interpreted in a few different ways, but when people have to step up, then they understand your role better. And, one, I think it helps them when they have to, kind of go back to their work. they see the field in a totally different way. I think there's also some level of respect to like, oh, okay, I didn't know you were dealing with all of those other things too. And there's an appreciation, but I think it also, I found, when I had back in 2018, I had to have surgery. Luckily, it didn't take me out as long as we thought it might. But my team was really well equipped. And they were able to step up and like get their own efficacy. And then it was like, oh, they can do more. Not more, but they can operate at a higher level. And I can actually like delegate that decision to that person when, whereas I didn't think that that was the case before.
And it's almost part of your leadership bench, right? One piece is succession planning. Another piece is being able to go away and not worry about work, right? I want to ask you a question about hiring, because when we do have succession plans and people are leaving, we have to bring someone on. So we want to make sure we're bringing on the correct types of people who can do these things. Are there any strategies that you have for anybody listening who is, okay, my succession plan is now happening. How do I hire for the person coming in for the role that just got bumped? Do you have any strategies or any suggestions around that?
Yeah, so just to be clear, you promoted the VP and now you're hiring for the next VP. Is that the
Or the one under the person who
or the
just
one
got
underneath?
promoted. Yeah. Either or, really.
So I think in hiring in general, right, this is a little bit like matchmaking. And leaders, I think if I see having done a bunch of C-level VP, having done a bunch of leader searches, I think the mistake that happens is we hire for what that role looks like in a vacuum and not thinking about what the organization, that team, this moment needs. So, and you see this, right, with startups who hire a COO from maybe a bigger organization because they know what success looks like. It's like, okay, but do they also know what it's like to work without an assistant,
Or the
or with working
startup.
with a smaller team? Exactly. Or vice versa, you're working for a smaller team, and now this person has to lead through multiple levels, which they never had to do before. So I think, and that was something I realized in my leadership training program, where you have some leaders that are startup leaders, you have some that are turnarounds, you have some that are sustaining. Like there's just personality, it's not good or bad, it's just that's where your strength lies, and let's partner you in a position that you're going to be strong in. So it's not just thinking about the role, but also thinking about the work and the impact that the team needs at this moment so that you can build one, a better job description that attracts the right person. The right person will be attracted to mess, chaos, building. Like there's plenty of us that love that. But then, and then also thinking about ways to screen how that person shows up in that in those moments through case studies, through questions, behavioral interview questions, what have you. Because then it's also a, it's not just your screening, it's you're giving a realistic preview to that person about these are some of the problems and the challenges and the opportunities that you have in this role so that both people can walk in eyes wide open. The worst is, telling someone they're going to have all this autonomy when they don't have all this autonomy or vice versa. So I think it, and this is usually the answer to any leadership work I do. It starts with the clarity of what do you actually need right now? What are the problems you're actually trying to solve? And starting with that clarity, the rest follows pretty easily after that.
And I think if you don't have that clarity, what you could be doing is using an old job description. And like you said, someone comes in and they think they have all of this and they don't. Or the opposite happens. They think they have to report a bunch of things when now you're putting it all in their hands and they're not prepared mentally for that because that's not what they thought they were hired for. So really looking at what do we need today before you even start recruiting, update that job description, get the recruiting right, ask those questions that you were alluding to, behavior questions and stuff, and get the right fit.
Yeah, absolutely. And the right person will be excited. I was leading a for another organization, a VP of people search. And the people and culture team had had a rough go of it. They, some things had happened. There was a lot of trust that was lost. But As we talked about the role, and I worked with the in-house recruiter, we really talked about this as an opportunity to rebuild and to, a fresh opportunity. And there were a number of people that were excited about that. And the people that weren't didn't apply because that's not where their brilliance lies, and that is okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's okay and get it right. And then it's easier
Yes.
too when you're recruiting to like not have 2,000 resumes to go through because you've narrowed it down. I want to ask you something, thinking about our leadership bench and, going on vacation and hiring and succession planning and everything else that goes along with that. Do you see that some business owners or executives are a little bit nervous about all of that or investing into that time and energy around that?
Both.
All
I think
right.
so. Right now, I'm doing some level of market research with social impact leaders, just that's the space I often
Okay.
work in. And what I am pleasantly surprised by is, obviously funding in the United States is a little bit stretched and challenging, but the thing that is in people's locus of control is training up their people managers. And making sure that their people have the tools and the skills needed to weather the storms ahead. So I'm actually finding that there's a number of leaders that are realizing that this is the only way that they can really help to navigate, right? Because the rising tide, rises all ships. That being said, I think that if you, I think standalone owners, founders, like I think it can feel really scary. To let go of things. And I don't think, I'm as much as I say you should delegate, I also know that there are some things that you can't delegate, especially when you're growing and going through challenges. But I think that's where the clarity comes in and sitting with like a coach or a consultant like us to say, okay, I get you can, there is no, there might not be a workflow that you can fully delegate at certain stage, right? Like that's fair. But there's something you can. Like I was working with the director of finance to realize that his manager could do the research on a topic or could like start the spreadsheet with populating certain data. And only he could do the rest, but he realized, oh, if I actually think about, if I actually break down the task into all of the subsets, I can delegate some of those things, even if I can't delegate the workflow. And I think I've found a lot of success working with leaders when I reframe delegation that way. But I also think, there are some leaders, if you are, I don't even want to say if you're new, I think if you're not confident in your decisions, and I say that without judgment, because there are definitely times I was not confident in
Yeah, of
what I'm
course.
doing. That's not the time to delegate, but I think that's the tension sometimes. It's when you can't delegate your vision or your mission.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do really appreciate that you brought up the same thing I tell some of my clients, and we hope you're hearing this out there, is you can delegate parts of almost anything. Like you said, if it's just creating the spreadsheet with the headers you want, hey, that's 5 minutes or 10 minutes off your time, delegate it, right? Like breaking down those big decisions, and then deciding what can someone else get from research, maybe that, like you alluded to, right? What are the pieces someone else can do for me? Yes, I'm the final person. I need to do most of the work, but what are those things, right? So I love that you brought that up because I think it is something people miss. They just own it so badly they can't let go parts of it, right?
And I think and the thing is when you do that, you are saving your brain and the cognitive load for the things you're actually brilliant at. So when we did school leadership hiring, I had a wonderful senior manager. She was great. I never wanted to let that fully go. But what she did was she was responsible for going through all of the applications for, assessing who is, strong match, media match. I also, worked with her to say, we want some, I joke, I called them the Hail Marys because it was a leadership training program. It wasn't like a leader, to say, I want you to bring me some folks that you're just excited by. Like maybe it doesn't make sense and doesn't fit neatly in the rubric, but there's somebody who's like, I don't know, they just got something that I think they're going to be great. So that we didn't get stale. But we she would do that. Now, did I look through applications myself? 100%. But I was more browsing. She was really the person presenting. And so then I could do my matchmaking. You know, I think I'm a pretty good matchmaker when it comes to recruitment. So I could do that because I did not want to be the person putting things in the spreadsheet anymore and categorizing them and all those things.
So there's always something for sure. I mean, I agree with you. There's always something. Let's make our jobs easier.
Definitely.
Yeah. I want to give you just a couple minutes as we wrap up today. If our leaders are new to the whole idea of this leadership bench, new to succession planning, because we really need to be doing that and things like that, where should they start? What are your starting points for them?
Yeah, so I think the easiest way to start is to just look at your folks and say if they got better at one thing that would have the most impact on the organization or your as a leader's work, what would that thing be? And that's a really simple question, but it really helps to guide folks because so many things. So it might be, oh, this person could just manage more of the difficult conversations with customers. So not everything escalated to me. Or maybe it's I just want someone to be able to work with our finance team so I'm not dragged into every little thing. So starting with you and starting with what's pulling you away from being able to see, you know, to kind of look ahead at the road ahead. And then what are the skills that they need to be able to develop? That's one way to do it. Another way that I worked with an organization that did have a strat plan so that they knew where they wanted to be in 3 years was to say, what are all the skills that need to exist for this to be true? Who has those skills at what level? And so what's one step that those folks can do to get better? So if you actually know where your organization is headed, then you can use that as your benchmark. If you don't have that, totally fine. Just start with yourself and what's the stuff that's dragging you down in the weeds and use that as sort of your stake to come from.
Yeah, I think knowing skills and matching them up can be, even when we talked about delegation, can be huge for you if you need to quick delegate something due to time constraints or whatever. But I also think that there's a tool I use, Skill Will Model. I'm sure a lot of people know it. So what is their skill level to their
Yeah.
will level? And that's about understanding those conversations you and I were talking about earlier. Do they want to do this? That's the will. The will is, that part of it, and where do they fit? And I think that that could also come in real handy here as well. But the skills is so important. Who has those
Yeah.
skills before even the conversations?
Yeah. I think if your organization is not going through change, 100% with Will, I think what becomes a little hard is
Scaling.
when you're scaling, when you're growing, when you're pivoting, when you're changing your strategic plan, there becomes a really hard moment where you have someone who you might love and have, and they're great. They don't want to do something, and you actually need that role to start doing that. And that's always that's the hard part when but if you're planning ahead, I think you can have that conversation with a lot of love and honesty and respect for that person. But
Yeah, and you're,
that is the hard part.
yeah, change is definitely difficult with this because we are going to have to do something and you're going to have to do it if you want to do it or not. You're right. Like those things come up. Scaling, like especially in huge growth or even paring down, those things come up.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's why I love the skills side and that ma we're matching that up so it's easy for us to delegate too.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much for a very great conversation today about the leadership bench, which I love that idea. If our audience wants to learn more about that, about you or find you online somewhere, is there a place that they can find you?
Yeah, there's three places that you can go. First is LinkedIn. So
All right.
I'm Lisa Frischel on LinkedIn. And I post pretty regularly. The second is my website, francaconsulting.com. And the third is my mailing list slash newsletter, All Things Talent. I wrote it for who I was at 29, which is, you know, it's actionable advice. It's things that you can implement tomorrow as a leader and breaking down some of these bigger concepts into stuff that you can actually start using with your team.
Excellent. And I want to just spell your last name for anybody listening. It's FRISCA. CIA, and Franca is FRANCA Consulting.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time today and for some valuable lessons for sure and some good insights.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
I thank you, of course, to our audience. We do hope that you gained some valuable information or tips today from our conversation with Lisa. If you did enjoy this episode, be sure to leave us a great rating. This helps us and our guests like Lisa reach even more leaders with helpful stories, tips, and advice. We love helping others grow and thrive. If this episode got you thinking, then we would love for you to join our new and engaging leadership community. A link and information is in the show summary. Leadership is better when we do it together. For more information about all of our leadership services, please visit us anytime at amplifyingleadership.ca, a division of Twin Life Coaching and Business Services. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.